Until four, this is The Weekender with Chrissy Morrissey.
It is indeed. And then young Ben Cameron joins us to talk sport after 4 o'clock. We were talking about 2:30 with Kirsten Bass, who's a maternity coach. And no, as I said before, do not roll your eyes. It is actually a valid thing. And it's talking about helping women to make decisions about what the best thing is to do and how to juggle their life once they've had a baby to let them return to work. And Libby has texted us to say that she would use a maternity coach. She has a two-month-old and returned to work in February, and she's really worried. She works in childcare, needs to put the baby in care, suffering lots of anxiety over it before it's even happened. I think the older generation say things like, get on with it, because many of them had a stay-at-home parent, usually the mother, and so double incomes weren't so much a necessity like they are now. With all due respect, I say this, as I know they did have it tougher in many other areas. Love the psychologist that was on, and we'll look it up, from Libby. Good. Libby, glad to be able to help you out there. That is the aim of the show here on The Weekend. A bit of enjoyment and a bit of information as well. And always a bit of enjoyment and information from this next fellow, our travel expert extraordinaire, the intrepid traveller, Mr. Christopher Parry. Hello.
Hello, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very, very good. A bit short of breath. I was just trying to have a, not a push-up competition, but we're doing some squats here, trying to keep healthy in the studio at 6PR. Bizarre, but we just thought we'd give it a go because we're pretty sedentary lot for the 3 hours while we're doing the show. So it's obviously showing that we're not as fit as maybe we should be.
Well, pretty hard to be sedentary at the moment because it's been one of the best weekends in WA, hasn't it? All the tourism awards and different events that are going on, a good weekend of warmth and sunshine that's got us all out and about.
Indeed, and we can lay low tomorrow when it's 37 degrees in our little offices and at our schools, and that's a good thing as well. Hey, Christopher Parry, you go to many different places around the world and in Australia, and one of the interesting things that you've done involves turtle tourism etiquette. And there are a lot of people, and I would be one of them, who, when seeing a little turtle hatchling struggling at the end of the ocean, would feel compelled to go and pick it up. But you have a lesson for us today, do you not?
I do have a lesson, but I guess as well it's more about people having a think. I guess possibly the jury is still out. And I've certainly reached my conclusions from what started out as a niggling curiosity to now a very real concern about turtle release programs. What started out for me was the family holidays where, you know, I'm laying myself wide open here by declaring what my family's participated in the past. We've had our close encounters with the orangutans and the elephants and the bears and the lions, and we even attended a piranha feeding once where we were encouraged to tip a container of goldfish into a tank of piranha to watch them be shredded, all in the interest of children's education. But it was doing a turtle release program on a beach where I just wondered how the turtles, when they return, could actually get up the up through the rocks and back onto the beach, you know, big heavy turtles. So I sent out, doing a bit of research, I sent some emails out to a few scientists that came up as experts in the field, and I hit a bloke called Colin Limpus, and he's part of the Department of Environment and Heritage Protection Queensland, and he explained that, I guess without trying to sound too much like Dr. Carl Kruzaniski, that those release programs contravene possibly the biological rule of operation. So what normally happens is, and we've all, you know, seen either in a documentary or we've watched turtles come out on the beach, we see them come out and they crawl down to the water, and a lot of them get picked off by the predators. So the idea when we participate in helping the turtle get to the water is we think we're doing a good thing and that we're increasing the population by increasing the odds in getting them to the water. But it looks like we might actually be doing the wrong thing, because when you sign up for one of those programs, the operators are hatching the turtles back at their, you know, various premises and putting them in the little containers, waiting for the numbers to build up in tourists to sign on for a turtle release day. And when they get their numbers, off you go down to the beach and you let them go. When a turtle is in its egg, it's basically got its own little can of Red Bull in there. So it consumes that. It's full of energy. It shoots off down the beach. If it's lucky enough to make it, out it goes to sea, floats on the tides and eats jellyfish and other things. With the hatch programs, they've eaten their little bit of Red Bull and the energy's worn off. So we let them go. They walk down to they walk down to the water's edge, and then they can't go any further. They run out of energy, so they're hanging in the shallows where they're picked off by bigger fish. So that's really the crux of it, and that's where a lot of scientists, as part of the United Nations study into migratory animals, have decided that these programs, while providing a lot of benefit in the way we feel good about ourselves, may not just be the right thing for the turtles.
That's a real worry, isn't it? I feel very sorry for the poor little turtles. So they've got no energy to get them past. We've got them past maybe one set of predators, and we as the tourists are feeling good because we're feeling we're contributing. But then we've just put them smack in front of another lot who could pick them all off anyway. So the survival of the fittest down to the beach, and then we're not really leaving the fittest in the water. We're leaving everyone in the water to get decimated.
Yeah, so effectively the energy just isn't there to continue on possibly 60 to 80 kilometres out to sea where they ride the big currents, and everyone's seen Finding Nemo, where the turtles ride the different currents, and that's what these guys do, the little fellas, and they just pick off little bits of fish, a little bits of jellyfish, and shelter amongst banks of weed, drifting kelp and that sort of thing, but without the... If they can't get out that far, then they're just stuck in the shallows where they're picked off.
So where's the future of this type of tourism then, Chris? What's going to be happening?
Well, the future is just in education. And I guess if we look at what happens over in the eastern states with Phillip Island, with watching the penguins march, it's as simple as that. We just have to enjoy being there at the time. And I think it's far more beautiful anyway to watch the turtles emerge from the sand. Maybe we can still shoo off the birds and the lizards and everything else, help them get to the water, but let them do it under their own steam and their own energy. You know, nature's own little can of Red Bull in their egg, and we can just sit there and watch them.
Great
sit there
advice.
On the sand and just watch them. We don't need to interfere any more than that.
Great advice, Chris Parry. Now, you have a new website that we can direct people to for more travelling tips, don't we?
Yeah, it's chrisparrywritesforus.com. I've actually written something up on the turtle issue, so if anyone's interested in having a look at that. And there's also some information on a website. I guess you would need to do a basic Google, but the letters are IOSEA, and that's the Indian Ocean Southeast Asian Marine Turtle Memorandum of Understanding. So that how's that? That's right. 35 countries that have banded together to actually look at this issue.
Well, that shows how important it is, Chris Parry. Thanks for bringing it to our attention today.
Not a problem.
Intrepid traveller and regular here on the Weekender, Christopher Parry, joining us for the show. 30 minutes to 4 on the program. Ben Cameron's going to come in just a little while and have a chat with us about what's coming up on his program. We may be able to fit in one of possibly the funniest Fawlty Towers sketches in that time as though. We'll see how we go.
Gary Anson here.